Nagbabalik tayo para sa isa na namang episode ng Shapers and Shakers, Personalities of the Elsa Revolution. Hello sa inyong lahat, ako si Lee.
Ako si Vet.
Ako si Bro.
Ako si Aaron, and you are listening to podcast Conversations on Philippine History, Politics, and Society.
Alright, so last week, ang pinag-usapan natin ay ang military, particularly sila Ramos, Honasan, at Enrile, at ang RAM, at paano naka-apekto ang buhay at mga desisyon nila sa itinakbo ng martial law bilang mga implementers ng batas militar at later on bilang mga coup plotters.
That's true, no? At least for Enrile and Honasan na na-involve in one way or another sa coup plots during and after the revolution. But I think we can really say na talagang contested at controversial yung naging papel nila during and after martial law. Kasi, syempre, enabler sila. Then, when the People Power Revolution happened, nagkaroon ng puwang sa kasaysayan ang papel nila bilang mga defectors. Pero syempre, kailangan natin balansehin yan at tignan sila sa kabuuan ng naging bahagi nila sa panahon na yon. As we said last episode, totoong mahalaga ang naging papel ng militar. Kasi nga powerful institution yan eh. Pero hindi sila yung masasabing pinakamahalagang factor sa success ng EDSA.
Yes. So from one powerful and controversial institution, we turn to another one. Before sa season natin sa Hindi na Bago Yan, meron tayong episode doon, alala ko, Role of Military in Politics. Pero ngayon, tingnan natin yung combination ng religion at politics. So this week, tingnan natin ulit ang Catholic Church.
At complex talaga yan, ano? Kasi I'm sure naririnig at alam naman ng mga listeners natin yung idea ng separation of church and state. Pero alam din natin na hindi naman neat yung separation na yon. Kasi syempre sa lipunan at sa buhay natin bilang citizens, nagko-coincide naman talaga sila, no? And at times, nagka-clash pa nga. So, to discuss the church during martial law, babalikan natin ang buhay ng isa sa pinakakilala, if not pinakakilalang Archbishop ng Manila, si Jaime Cardinal Sin.
My dear people, I wish you to pray because it's only through prayer that we may solve this problem. This is Cardinal Sin speaking to the people, especially in Metro Manila. I am indeed concerned about the situation of Minister Enrile and General Ramos. I am calling our people to support our two good friends at the camp. If any of you could be around at Camp Aguinaldo, to show your solidarity and your support in this very crucial period when our two good friends have shown their idealism. I would be very happy if you could support them now. I would only wish that violence and bloodshed be avoided. Let us pray to our Blessed Lady to help us in order that we can solve this problem peacefully.
Yan ang message na narinig sa Radyo Veritas noong February 22, 1986, when Jaime Cardinal Sin called on the people to go to EDSA to help and quote-unquote protect Ramos and Enrile. Naka-upload yung clip na yan sa YouTube at may transcript like this one from Rappler's YouTube page.
So marami ang nagsasite na yung message na yan ni Cardinal Sin ay isang turning point sa mga naganap noong February 1986. Kasi after that message, true enough, madaming mga sibilyan ang nagsipunta sa EDSA. That's when we saw people facing tanks and soldiers. And even nuns and clergy stood at the front lines, rosaries in hand, praying and urging for a peaceful solution.
Pero one of the questions that we can ask in this episode, of course, is sino nga ba si Cardinal Sin? And has he always been quote-unquote activist in this sense? No? Paano nga ba hinubog ng kanyang leadership ang church in general at ang church during the martial law period in particular?
Yun. Sige, simulan natin. Si Jaime La Chica Sin ay ipinanganak noong August 31, 1928 sa New Washington, Aklan. Pang-labing-apat siya sa 16 na anak nila Juan Sin, isang Chinese businessman, at Maxima La Chica, isang mestiza from Panay. Unfortunately, siyam lang sa 16 na anak ng mag-asawa ang nag-survive. Yung mga biographies niya would say that he was sickly, may hika, kaya favorite siya ng nanay niya. At sabi mismo ni Cardinal Sin, favorite siya ng kanyang nanay dahil he was, and I quote, most sickly and ugliest of them all.
At a young age pa lang daw, naiisip na ni Jaime na magpare. Naging conflict din ito sa parents niya kasi yung tatay niya gusto siyang maging businessman. Pero yung nanay niya, very supportive. Sabi nga ni Cardinal Sin sa isang interview, hanggang sa deathbed ng nanay niya, ang bilin daw sa tatay niya ay to see, to eat na magpari talaga siya.
Maliban sa pagiging devout Catholic ng kanyang nanay, I think this desire to direct his career stems from the reality that at that time, in many Filipino Catholic homes, it's kind of a source of pride to have a priest in the family, no? And itong si Jaime, or Jim, his nickname, ay talagang na-encourage na magpare kasi bata pa lang daw, nagpa-practice na siyang mag-homily sa dining table nila. At that time, talagang yung support ng kanyang nanay ay crucial kasi actually, nung pumasok siya sa seminary noong 1941, na-diagnose ng cancer ang kanyang nanay. At naantala yung kanyang time sa seminary sa Haro, Iloilo kasi pumutok na ang digmaan noong 1941. Together with his family, they were forced to seek refuge in the mountains for 3 years. Natigil ang kanyang schooling dahil sa war. Noong 1945, nung natapos ng digmaan, namatay na rin ang kanyang nanay. Nonetheless, nagtuloy sa seminary by 1946 si Jaime at actually, ang isa sa mga naging bothersome for him ay yung pagiging hikain niya.
At dito nga daw siya humingi ng sign from the Virgin Mary, nang hingi siya ng miracle through a letter na nilagay niya sa paanan ng isang Virgin Mary statue. At ang sabi niya, kung gumaling siya, basically i-devote niya ang buhay niya sa ministry. And then, ayun, no, gumanda nga daw yung kondisyon niya. Then, in 1954, he was ordained as a priest. He was initially to be sent to Italy to study canon law, but he wanted to preach, kaya naging missionary siya.
Nagkaroon siya supposedly ng challenges sa dangers ng pagiging missionary, kaya nirecall siya. Then he started showing signs of capable leadership sa Aklan. He was then made rector of a seminary, the St. Pius X Seminary. Many say that he was very efficient in administration and gathering funds for church projects.
After that, he steadily rose to the ranks in the church. He became Monsignor, then Bishop, then Archbishop of Haro, Iloilo, in 1972. Then, 2 years later, in 1974, he became Archbishop of Manila. At dito na din natin makikita kung paano siya mas magiging involved sa politics ng bansa. Mas pag-usapan natin yan sa ating pagbabalik.
In 1974, nang mag-move si Jaime Sin from Iloilo to Manila. At that time, syempre, martial law na. And sinong sumalubong sa kanya, sa Pierre? Si Imelda Marcos lang naman, the first lady herself. So, Jaime Sin went on to work and he was supposedly very hands-on daw.
Yes, and it was during his role as Archbishop na itatag yung maraming institutions. For example, yung Caritas Manila at syempre yung Radio Veritas. No? So, he was very dedicated, pero sabi nga rin ng mga biographers niya, he was also very charming and would joke a lot. He would always say something funny, lalo na pag tense yung situation. So, ito, pakinggan natin yung isa sa mga jokes niya.
A couple wanted to get married, and they are young, and they said, Cardinal, can we have our own formula? I said, all right, provided that I will have my own after your own formula. And they said, all right. So the husband turned to the woman and said, you are my cherry. And the woman said, you are my apple. So I said, I declare you fruit salad. I declare you as fruit salad. I declare you as fruit salad. I declare you fruit salad.
Favorite niya yung fruit salad joke na yan talaga, no? Pero yan ang isang trait ni Cardinal Sin. Base sa mga colleagues niya, he was very charming and could get people to listen and diffuse tense situations. Pero that doesn't mean na hindi siya nagpakita ng fierceness noong kasagsagan ng batas militar.
Masasabing isang major episode dyan yung nangyari noong September 1974 when military forces entered the Jesuit novitiate sa Sacred Heart sa Maynooth Valiches kasi may rumors daw na yung mga pare ay tumutulong at nagkukupkup ng mga komunista. When Cardinal Sin heard of the incident, he made the scathing comments from the pulpit, diretso ha, criticizing the military and the Marcos regime.
This was like a premonition of what's to come, no? Kasi nagsimula na maging mas vocal si Cardinal Sin against the regime, the martial law regime. When initially, he preached radical love sa mga Catholics sa Pilipinas para ma-prevent yung any sort of violence that could erupt from the tensions of the time.
And it was really tense. Kasi the church was being criticized by left-wing groups kasi it was not doing enough daw to help the cause and fight tyranny. Silent daw ito at complicit or at least passive siguro when martial law was imposed. The church and its leaders were also seen as opposed to leftist movements kasi nga, at this time, communism was also viewed as the spread of atheism. Isa pang criticism sa church ay yung delayed response nito sa usapin ng excesses of the Marcos regime when it was still unfolding. While segments of the church, particularly among the religious orders and lay organizations, began to oppose the regime's abuses early on, the institutional response was slower to materialize. It was not until the latter half of the 1970s and early 1980s that the Catholic Bishops' Conference of the Philippines, or yung CBCP, started to issue more forceful critiques of human rights violations and the undermining of democratic institutions. And then, of course, on the flip side, we have some people arguing na the church should not meddle in politics, di ba? But yes, going back to that 1974 episode sa Sacred Heart, isa na yung sign of things to come.
So he was also counseled to Cory and Ninoy. At actually, he administered the last sacrament kay Ninoy noong hunger strike niya. Then when the assassination happened, siya na rin. So, Sin started being more vocal. So when the snap elections happened, the CBCP had pastoral letters. Imelda supposedly came to Sin to try to stop the release of pastoral letter condemning the elections. And Sin said basically that he was just one vote in the council.
Ayun nga, no, Cardinal Sin was supposedly also instrumental in the final decision of Cory to run and actually, sabi rin, he mediated between Doy Laurel and Cory kasi medyo may tension din yung opposition on kung sino yung patatakbuhin. No? So, ito, pakinggan natin si Cory kung ano yung recollection niya of what happened during those days.
He urged me to, during the campaign for the snap election, that for me to just tell my story, and he said that people would accept and would sympathize with me.
So eventually, things would escalate into the discovered coup attempts that would lead Enrile and Ramos to defect and bring us back doon sa panawagan ni Cardinal Sin sa mga tao na pumunta ng EDSA.
After the revolution, we will continue to see how important Cardinal Sin was in Philippine society and politics. He remained quite influential kasi nga he was perceived as a guardian of democracy, an advocate of social justice. At nung panahon ni Cory, he was mediating between conflicting parties. And he was also the voice of the church, and he magnified the role of the church in societal affairs. He really pushed for moral governance to the point na noong elections noong 1998, he was very vocal against Joseph Estrada, no, or si ERAP, to a point na he would openly say anybody but ERAP. Kasi nga naman yung image din ni ERAP, no?
Yes, kasi nga ERAP, sabi niya, represented yung mga reprehensible characteristics na ayaw ng church morality, lalo na yung pagkakaroon niya ng maraming babae. Kaya noong sumabog na yung scandals kay ERAP, Sin once again figured prominently in drumming up support for the opposition.
Yes, ano, so he was in EDSA 1, the First People Power, and he was also in EDSA 2, no? So but just to expand the conversation, ano, yung point ng Catholic morality also complicates the legacy of Cardinal Sin pagdating sa public policy sa Pilipinas. Kasi syempre, he was very popular. And so, the force of the church in influencing policies, malaki din yung naging impact sa mga pulisiya. No, lalo na for example, sa mga pronouncements ng church, no, against reproductive health bills and of course divorce laws and related legislation agenda.
And this is very important to note, no, na bukod halimbawa sa syempre sa stand ng church, Cardinal Sin was also a product of his time and his economic class. Halimbawa sa isang interview, he had this to say when he was asked kung bakit ang dami pa ring mahihirap.
Ah, well, because they are not industrious. If you work harder, you will become richer.
Ouch naman, di ba? Na hindi pa pala sapat ang pag-usumikap, kaya nananatiling mahirap. Pero yeah, I think the point I want to underscore here is that complex talaga kapag titingnan natin yung ano interplay ng church and politics. Kasi bukod sa non-negotiables ng church on matters of, you know, Catholic morality, powerful talaga itong institution na ito, itong simbahan in terms of, you know, influencing the people.
I agree, no? Pero as Cardinal Sin's life and legacy during martial law has shown, the church can indeed wield influence pagdating sa politics, no? Kasi meron siyang sway sa mga tao, eh, no? So at nakita yan, no, in how Cardinal Sin himself could be definitely considered a major shaker and shaper of martial law and the people power revolution in the 1980s. At hanggang EDSA 2. Actually, hanggang sa retirement niya, he was always been sought after sa mga views niya on politics.
At ito rin ang nagpapakita na ang EDSA revolution ay complex bilang isang historical event. Kasi hindi natin pwedeng i-attribute lang sa isang sector na naging instrumental dito, eh. Actually, I think it's a mistake to think that it was all about one group or another taking the lead. Like we've been talking about since our last episode, no? This was really and truly a win for the people by the people. And that's what makes it so special, no? It's the collective spirit, the coming together of so many different folks from all walks of life, each playing their part, that really tipped the scales. This wasn't just a moment in time. It was a powerful demonstration of what can happen when we all pull in the same direction. Kaya when we remember EDSA, let's remember it as the epitome of people power. It's a shining example of unity in action and a reminder of what we can achieve together. If different institutions like the church, for example, through cardinal sin, stand for democratic principles, we can really achieve change.
All right. So cardinal sin would be remembered as an important figure in Philippine contemporary history. He passed away on June 21st, 2005, due to severe kidney problems. He left an indelible legacy not only in the Catholic Church in Philippines, but also in Philippine society and history.
All right, and that's our episode for today. Salamat sa inyong pakikinig muli. At next week, abangan ang isa na namang bagong episode ng Shapers and Shakers, Personalities of the EDSA Revolution.
Yes, abangan sana yan ang ating mga listeners and continue supporting podcasts sa aming social media pages.
Tama yan, continue following us. If you haven't followed us, follow us on Facebook, X, Instagram, LinkedIn, at syempre sa aming YouTube channel, Podcast TV.
Right, so until next week, thank you and have a good day.